This is Phil Farron. Oops, wait. Yep, we're going. I can't tell whether we're going or not because I don't have a remote control. I think I mentioned last time that I checked out the remote controls for this little recorder, which is nothing more than a couple of buttons and like a quarter inch stereo plug. I think I mentioned that it was like $35. I'm like, are you kidding me? I am not spending $35 for that. What I need to do is take my old one. I think I mentioned this last time. Take my old one, get a quarter inch plug, take the end off it, try to guess what wires go to where. Just make it myself. I will do that when things slow down a bit. In the meantime, I'm having to turn on the recorder and then gently put it down on my little, I have a little foam pad that I sit it on top of my dashboard so that it insulates it a little bit from the bounces. Been an interesting week. Been a good week. Brought a quote-unquote project to a close this week that I had been working on since December-ish of last year. And I think it went well. My son-in-law even said, hey, I saw your video of the angel costume. That was pretty impressive. He said, you know, did a good job. So, yay. But I had mentioned on here how the angel costume had come about. I don't even remember what podcast that was. It was a long time ago because this was a long project. But the angel costume is one of those things that just came out of the blue. I was needing a distraction that weekend. Jesus kindly provided me a distraction that weekend. Basically, I got this whole kind of nouveau angel steampunk guardian thing designed in my head in dialogue with him. And after it was all said and done, I was going in on a Monday morning and I was saying, you know, okay, so this is all well and good, but I don't have a holiday for this. And the response came to me, well, maybe you should just search for an angel holiday. So I did, looked up Angel Day, sure enough, Be an Angel Day, which was just perfect because if we're saying be an angel, it doesn't really say what kind of angel. So I can be anything I want. And if I want to be a steampunk guardian angel that has a mini Gatling gun and a pistol strapped to his thigh, I can do that. So it was fun. There was a bunch of people who were looking forward to this because I had mentioned it. I had mentioned it to them to give myself the impetus to keep going because it was such a huge build. I don't think I would have stopped even if I hadn't mentioned it to people, but that just gave me a little extra, yes, you really have to do this. So the wings were, I don't know, 4 months-ish worth of work, an hour or two in the evenings. And then I had a steampunk jetpack. That was a solid 3 weeks of work. And then I had turned some Nerf guns into steampunky guns. So that was another several days of work. I was actually finishing up the mini Gatling gun. I was painting it the night before. So I will tell you that my brain was not plugged in last Friday morning all the way. I had a loose connection in there somewhere. And I think it was because I had worked so long and so hard on this costume, and there were enough people who were looking forward to it, that I was experiencing some low-level anxiety. But boy, I felt it. My brain was just not fully plugged in. I had most of it, but that attention to detail where things are quiet enough that I can hear clearly from the Holy Spirit, I just didn't have it. I didn't have it enough to the point where I believe this is what happened, or I just had a memory glitch. I went by UPS, got the wings on, got into UPS, did the thing, everything was great, came out, put my phone on top of my wife's van because I needed to drive her van so that I could transport the wings. Went back, got the wings off. I was thinking forward to, okay, I've got three more stops, and then I'm done, because by that time, I was tired. Get in the van with my phone on top of the car, drive from, it's probably a couple of miles, but I was taking it easy because I was worried about sloshing the wings around in the back. Probably drove a couple of miles to get to the next stop. Got out, realized I didn't have my phone with me, thought, where's my phone? I looked up and my phone was on the top of the van. I was not firing on all cylinders. Either that's what happened, or I had already pulled my phone out of the van and put it up on top of the van and promptly forgot that I did that. Not firing on all cylinders. So yeah, it was pretty exciting. By the time I got within one or two stops of being done, that was settling down, but still, I got to Walmart for the second time because I do the early morning run, 8:30-ish, 8:45-ish for an hour and a half or so. And then I go back at 11 because I have some friends who come in at 11. So 11, 11:30, I'm back in there. I struck up a conversation with a young man going in because, as I mentioned in my reactions video, there was a little humorous thing with him. Because I was getting the wings on, and he came around the corner and he kind of went, whoa. He said, so what's going on here? And I said, well, it's Be an Angel Day. And so I decided I was going to dress up. So okay. So then we talked for a little bit, and then he kind of stopped and he said, well, you know, gotta tell you the truth. Said, tell you the truth, I was doing a little smoking in my car there. And he said, I was wondering if maybe there was a little something in there that I didn't know was in there. I said, no, I just celebrate a holiday every year or every week. And it's Be an Angel Day today. So by the time it was all said and done, you know, we had exchanged information. He had taken a video, and he worked at some kind of a floral company, and he was saying, listen, I can spread the word at the floral company, like, you know, if that'll help you out for your appearances and stuff. And I said, all I do is dress up in costumes, and I come to Walmart just to make people smile. I said, I don't do appearances, I don't do any of this stuff. And honestly, I'm not a part of the attention economy. So I said, I do post on Facebook and Instagram, but at least that's just for the people that I know who have left and gone someplace else just so they can see. So yeah, it was interesting, but made it through the day. I was extremely grateful that the weather cooperated as much as it did, because in the mornings we were down in the 70s. It was gorgeous last weekend. It was just gorgeous. Mid-August, that's saying something. And that was good because the costume actually had as a base layer, it had that PVC vinyl material that does not breathe. It does not breathe. And so it was supposed to be a full body suit, and I had gotten in some extra leggings that were just that PVC vinyl. So I cut the bodysuit in half and just wore the top and then the leggings. So there was at least a little gap around my waist area where, you know, the heat could escape from. But by the time I was done, went in for the last time, got those last few pictures taken, I looked down at the floor and there were drops of liquid all around the floor because sweat was pouring off my fingertips. I mean, it was dripping off my fingertips. It wasn't pouring, but it was dripping. And one of the ladies that I was taking a picture with, she said, oh, holy water. I said, yeah, no, that's just sweat. They said, it's time for you to go home. I said, it is time for me to go home. But in the process of that then, because of the sweat, because of the heat, I actually gave myself heat rash in a couple of spots. I got home and I was itching and I kind of started scratching. I'm like, whoa, stop scratching. And I looked down, I'm like, oh yeah, heat rash. I remember this. I grew up in the Philippines. So I'm still on the tail ends of that. I've got some hydrocortisone cream and, you know, we'll be fine. But aside from all that, it was a good weekend. It was a good weekend. It was a lot of fun. And it was worth doing. The project was worth doing. So I have the wings hanging up in my office at this point, and they're, as far as I know, they're going to be hanging up in my office for the next year until we get to next year's Be an Angel Day. So it'll be fun. I have a costume that I'm not even sure my wife will approve of, but we're working on it. I'm going to start that this weekend. Shouldn't be a big build. But I'm really going to have to do this one. I'm just going to have to tell my beloved, okay, sweetie, here's the deal. I think this idea is from God. I'm just going to build it. Then when I get it built, I'll try it on. You can give thumbs up or thumbs down. If you want to give me a thumbs down, that's fine. It's not going to be a problem. So. Oh, but it's such an interesting combination of social dynamics. And I will talk about that more if we get closer and if I'm actually going to do it. But it's just a really interesting combination of social dynamics. I think it'll be fun to experiment with. So anyways, the writing is going fine. I'm finishing up on the last few chapters. I believe I've started chapter 31, which I think is going to be the last full chapter, and then there are news items that are going to be chapter 32, and then I have to write the epilogue, then I'm done. With book 17, I have it roughed in, then I start a big read-through, and then I got to get the covers done, but I already have an idea what I'm going to do for the cover. Should be pretty simple. And then get those files off and round up some beta readers, and we'll be on the way, and then come the 1st of October, be starting up on book 18. So we are going to take a week of vacation in there right at the end of September. Hopefully I'll have that all squared away and done, and then I can just start puttering along on book 18 while I'm on vacation. So all is well. All is well. Good week at work. I've been investigating a new tool called Power BI. It's really fascinating. And it has a whole new programming language in it that you have to think a little differently for. And so I've been kind of getting my brain around there, thinking about that. I did manage to make something really complex work today, following examples I was given. And I think I understand what the examples are doing. But that doesn't mean I could necessarily do it from scratch, because it's pretty complicated. But there are a whole bunch of people who are doing this, and I am confident I can develop the skills to do it. The question that we're facing now is, do we want to add this tool to our toolkit? We're already using this tool in a couple of other settings, but I don't know that the company has really made a commitment, per se, to the tool. But we are investigating, because we've had a request come in, and this tool is a potential candidate for use in that request. So we'll see. We'll see. This week, I was kind of scrambling around looking for something to chat about this week. I am home, but we'll go through this quickly. That's right. I don't have my garage door opener in the car. Thankfully, I have a little magic button on my cell phone that will actually open up the garage door. So let me just real quickly look through here and find the magic button. Bring that up. And it looks like I have a low battery on my little sensor. Years ago, I had installed a little Wi-Fi thing that I could connect with my phone to that would open and close the garage doors for me. So, yay! got that done. And we're good there. And I am in the garage. Whoop. And I will close the door. And it's going to beep when I close the door. And lights are flashing. You can probably hear the beeping. It's going to... Hey, there it goes. Okay, it's going. Anyways, so all is well. All is well. I was... I'm always interested in research about aging and brain function and all that kind of stuff. And there is some interesting new research. By the way, it is episode 700. Whoop, whoop. Only 1,300 more to go. Long story as to why I'm going to do 2,000 podcasts before I die. But, you know, we don't need to talk about that now. So there is some interesting research that they have. It seems like that there are certain proteins that calm overexcited neurons and that those proteins significantly impact longevity. Well, there you go. So the article was saying that new research makes a molecular connection between the brain and aging and shows that overactive neurons can shorten lifespan. This is very interesting. 1,000 seemingly insignificant things change as an organism ages. Beyond the obvious signs like graying hair and memory problems are a myriad shifts, both subtler and more consequential. Metabolic processes run less smoothly. Neurons respond less swiftly. The replication of DNA grows faultier. But while bodies may seem to just gradually wear out, many researchers believe instead that aging is controlled at a cellular and biomechanical level. They find evidence for this in the throng of biological mechanical mechanisms that are linked to aging, but also conserved across species as distantly related as roundworms and humans. So far... research has suggested that severely limiting caloric intake can have a beneficial effect, as can manipulating certain genes in laboratory animals. But recently in Nature, Bruce Yankner, a professor of genetics and neurology at Harvard Medical School, and his colleagues reported on a previously overlooked controller of lifespan, the activity level of neurons in the brain. And as a series of experiments on roundworms, mice, and human brain tissue, they found that a protein called REST, R-E-S-T, all in caps, I don't know what it stands for, which controls the expression of many genes related to neural firing, also controls lifespan. So what they found was, okay, I'm just going to read this. A lot of this is just gobbledygook, but I'll just read it. A key early finding was that the inactivation of a gene called DAF-2 was fundamental to extending the lifespan of worms. Quote, DAF-2 mutants were the most amazing things I've ever seen. They were active and healthy, and they lived more than twice as long as normal, Kenyon wrote in a reflection on these experiments. It seemed magical, but also creepy. They should have been dead, but there they were, moving around. This gene, DAF-2, and a second gene called DAF-16 are both involved in producing these effects in worms. And as scientists came to understand the gene's activities, it became increasingly clear that aging is not separate from the process that control an organism's development before the age of sexual maturity. It makes use of the same biomechanical machineries. Okay, so... they go on to say that, you know, figuring out which genes are turned on and off has long been an interest of this researcher. He published a paper about 15 years ago that looked at gene expressions from donated human brains to see how it changes over a lifetime. Some years later, they realized that many of the changes they'd seen were caused by this protein called REST. REST, which turns genes off, was mainly known for its role in the development of the fetal brain. It represses neuronal genes until the young brain is ready for them to be expressed. But that's not the only time it's active. We discovered in 2014 that the rest gene is actually reactivated in the aging brain. So, in their study, which was published in October of 2019, Yanker and his colleagues report that the brains of long-lived humans usually have low levels of proteins involved in excitation, at least in comparison with the brains of those who died much younger. This finding suggests that the exceptionally old people probably had less neural firing. To investigate this association in more detail, they turned to see something, whatever. They compared the neural activity in the splendidly long-lived DAF2 mutants with normal worms and saw that firing levels in DAF2 animals were indeed very different. They were almost silent, is his quote. They had very low neuronal activity compared to normal worms. This was very interesting and sort of parallels the gene expression pattern we see in extremely old humans. So he goes on in the article. They talk about this, that, and the other, and blah, 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 blah. But this idea, they conclude the article by saying, so why exactly do overexcited neurons lead to death? That's still a mystery. The answer is probably lies somewhere downstream of the DAF16 protein and FOXO in the genes they turn on and off. They may be increasing the organism's ability to deal with stress, reworking energy production to be more efficient, shifting its metabolism into another gear, or performing any number of other changes that tie together and add up to a sturdier and long-lived human. Quote, it is intriguing to think that something as transient as the active state of a neural circuit could have such major physiological influence on something as protean as lifespan. The reason I find this interesting is because I have observed over the course of my life, and I know there's not a direct correlation between how much brain activity you have and this, but I have observed that those who are filled with anxiety, that those who are filled with anger, that those who seem to be stewing and fuming and spun up all the time, that life in their later years, if they have a life in their later years, is usually not good. It is filled with physical difficulties. There seems to be some connection between a life that is driven by concerns and cares and is under the constant irritation of the flesh. There seems to be a correlation with that and difficulties later in life. And because I have seen that correlation, I have tried to be careful to live my life in such a way that it's not spun up and noisy and loud all the time. Not as my prime motivator. My prime motivator for living a quiet and peaceable and calm life is the fact that when I live a quiet and peaceable and calm life, I can hear Jesus better. I can hear the Holy Spirit better. And when I can hear Jesus and the Holy Spirit and God the Father better, life is good. It's just good. I was telling a buddy about building the angel costume this last week. And I was telling him, you know, I had just bought some aluminum flats, they're called. They were like, it was an inch wide and 6 feet long. I just bought some of those because I thought, well, I'm going to have to mount this steampunk jetpack on these wings somehow, and it had a back plate, and so I kind of knew what I was doing. I knew I had to like bend some things and just, you know, but came down to that point, I needed to do it, and I needed to do it that evening. It was like, I don't know, Tuesday night or Wednesday night before the angel thing, and I still had guns to do. was like, okay, Jesus, here we go. And it was like, you know, as soon as I turn my focus to it and I get quiet, it's okay. So you could do this, you could bend that, you could put this in here, and you could do that. And then I got it on there. Didn't work out quite like I thought. Well, that's okay. Just bend this part, put this here, you know, bend this down, put some zip ties here, do this. Okay, great. Now you're going to, oh yeah, you're probably going to need a piece of foam core. Go get some foam core and get some magnets and put this on stuff. And then I didn't have enough magnets and it wasn't strong enough to hold. And I told my beloved, I said, yeah, magnets, I don't have enough magnets. And she said, well, just a second. And she wandered off, and lo and behold, she had more magnets. Just the right size, just exactly what I needed, just bangity bang, 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 bang. The only problem I had with building the supports is I got a little cocky when I was doing it because I was thinking, this is working out great. And I just stopped listening for a moment and I actually bent the rods the wrong way. The flats, like rats, because I was congratulating myself how easy it was for me to conceptualize all the turns and bends that needed to be done. So I bent one of them the wrong way, and then I bent it the other way, and then it was fine. But it went together the first time, had some adjustments along the way, but basically it was a straight line path. I did not need to start over. It was just like bingity bangity boom. And I think within 45 minutes to an hour, I had the backpack mounted, ready to move on to the next task. And there are a significant, a non-trivial number of things in my life that work out like that. I have an idea. I start moving forward. It's extremely similar to this costume I was talking about that's coming up. This idea pops into my head. I'm like, okay, that's funny. And then the farther I get into it, I keep getting these little suggestions. Well, you could do this. You could do that. That's funny. That's funny. That's funny. And then it works out. And I attribute that to the fact that I am quiet. I attribute that to the importance of being quiet. And I would like to think, we'll see how this works out. Between the fasting and being quiet, I would like to think that that is going to have a positive impact on my health span. The term health span is like lifespan, except what health span indicates is not just how long you live, but how well you live as you are living long. So far, I have had multiple people tell me that I don't look 63. Really don't have gray hair yet. And I have certainly seen how people under a lot of stress can go gray early. But so far, I don't really have any gray hair. Now, my dad didn't have gray hair till a little later, and he was certainly stressed with worry, so maybe it's just genetics. But I'm going to just keep pressing forward with Jesus. I'm going to keep doing the things that I need to do, that I think I need to do. And if staying calm and just enjoying life and moving through with peace and joy and kindness, if that helps my lifespan and health span as well, well, hey, that's going to work out just fine. I do need to pick up the recorder. So I'm picking up the recorder and weirdness on sound. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.